the good news station.
USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The White House says it's pleased with how Supreme Court arguments went in the challenge to subsidies under President Obama's health overhaul. AP White House correspondent Mark Smith reports.
Press Secretary Josh Earnest says the court heard a compelling case.
How clearly the law reads and how strong our legal arguments are.
But he acknowledges justices are hard to predict based on oral argument. And he says a ruling that scraps subsidies for states that rely on the federal website would be devastating.
We would see millions of people lose their health insurance. Prices would likely go through the roof.
Plus, Earnest insists there is no fallback. He says Congress surely wouldn't rush in to fix the law, since it has a hard time doing even easy things like paying for Homeland Security.
Hillary Clinton appears to have violated a rule when she used her personal email account during her time as Secretary of State. Members of Congress say the use of personal accounts makes it harder to investigate Benghazi. This is USA.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. Gatorsecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
Secretary of State John Kerry is pushing back against the Israeli Prime Minister's assertion that developing a nuclear deal with Iran should be scrapped. He says the U.S. will not sign an agreement that doesn't address all the concerns.
Any deal must close every potential pathway that Iran has towards fissile material, whether it's uranium, plutonium, or a covert path.
And he says sanctions alone will not verify if Iran's nuclear program is peaceful.
What needs to happen is that Iran needs to provide a verifiable set of commitments that its program is in fact peaceful.
Yesterday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu claimed Iran does want to build bombs and is a sponsor of terror. He vowed Israel will act alone if the deal is reached. Officials in Ukraine say 10 people are dead after a methane explosion ripped through a coal mine. Rebel authorities say the explosion wasn't caused by shelling. This is USA Radio News.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
The Justice Department says it won't prosecute former Ferguson, Missouri police officer Darren Wilson in the shooting death of an unarmed black 18-year-old that led to weeks of protests. They concluded there was no evidence to disprove Wilson's testimony he feared for his safety. Neil Bruntrager, Wilson's attorney, responded to the news.
So now he's been vilified over these last several months. And you know, again, I'm hoping that people see this as an exoneration. They should.
He says a report released yesterday shows changes need to be made, though.
We don't have to look at these numbers. That doesn't justify the need to do this. Policing is government. Government is of the people. If the people think we need to do something, then we need to do something.
Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid says Congress should hold off on Iran legislation until negotiations on a nuclear deal play out. He says action now by Congress could complicate the effort. His comments in an AP interview suggest trouble for Republican efforts to quickly pass legislation allowing congressional oversight on any Iran nuclear agreement. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell took procedural steps yesterday to bring the bill to the floor. U.S. businesses added more than 200,000 jobs in February for the 13th straight month, according to a private survey. It was the latest sign that strong hiring should boost the economy this year. Payroll processor ADP says companies added 202,000 jobs last month, a solid gain, though down from 250,000 the previous month. For more news, go to usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Radio.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Host of the Joe Martech Show?
You're wrong.
Joe Martech.
Wow.
Whoa. Hey. And Vince Rizzino, CPA, forensic CPA extraordinaire, ex-university professor.
But not at Columbia.
Let's see. And Pastor Tom. I mean, Pastor Tom, you ever realize how deep this guy is?
No.
He doesn't look,
I didn't know how deep he was in.
He really doesn't look that bright, but underneath there.
That's because you haven't opened your eyes yet.
I want to know how he made out in Israel.
Well, we had a great time.
Other than the snowstorm, sleet storm, sandstorm.
The rain and the storms.
It was all fun. And did you get to the Western Wall?
Oh, yeah. Western Wall, we did everything.
Well, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you have places that you got shut out of, you couldn't get in because of the snow?
Yeah, we went up to Mount Bintal, and the snow, the roads were closed, so we didn't get up to that. But just about everything else we saw.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
1-888-221-8990. Now, this is because I have had criticisms from people saying, Joe, you don't give out that number. How are we ever going to call you if you don't give out the number?
True. What is that number?
1-888. This is toll-free, by the way.
Oh.
No matter where you are in the entire, is it the whole country?
Anywhere they hear this broadcast.
That's right.
Uh-huh. What if they get it on the computer, though?
Yeah.
You don't have to hear
it. If you're in Nigeria or someplace, you might have to use the
country code to get country code. But America's country code is 1.
Right.
That's right. 888.
221-8990. Concept of our group is very simple. We started doing these radio shows 10 or 11 or 12 years ago. Nobody knows for sure how long because our memories, you know, and what happens, you get old, you lose track. But we use Hurricane Francis and Jean as our semi-quasi-official date because we definitely remember those hurricanes.
Okay, and you were broadcasting.
And boy, they were pretty well. Yes, sirree, we were, and the tower didn't get knocked down, so that was a good thing.
So it's at least 11 years.
So we figured that, and the concept was simple. Joe Martech's a financial advisor. I'm called a stockbroker. I'm a securities principal. Lots of licenses, all that. Lots of clients in all over Florida and in 13 other states because people move. But there's no such thing as any one person knowing everything. And I always said, you know, the last time I walked on water, it was frozen. So, you know, this I have credibility, but it's limited to certain areas. So clients would ask me questions, taxes, insurance, legal, real estate. And I said, you know, I know people, but that's all I can do. I really can't answer that question. So if you're a credible professional, credible means you know what you're talking about most of the time. You can't
most
all
of the time,
I yeah. know you got to be careful with that. Categorical statements will get you in trouble.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Make sure you cover yourself.
I got to cover
compliance is listening.
Compliance is listening. In my opinion, you associate yourself with other credible professionals. And what I wanted to do when we started doing the shows was find people that weren't too young. Boy, that sure was easy. Finding old people that have been in business a long time. And there's a reason for that. You know, it doesn't mean that when you're new in business, you don't know much, but you don't have experience. And it's really hard to get experience without time. You know, I don't know how the ability to learn things is really phenomenal, and I'm impressed with people that can, but you can't overcome experience. So,
plus what you read in the books, Joe, isn't always the way it's applied in the real world.
Well, anybody that's taken a test and passed got a degree in anything understands that once they pass that test, that opens the door for them to go out and learn something.
It provides you with fundamentals.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's about it.
So I have to, and you have to, we have to take tests every single year, continuing education courses. And I look at those as a gauge for me to say, am I still not fried?
Right.
You know, and really that makes a big difference, because I probably take, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 courses a year. It seems like it anyway.
You're lucky.
You take more?
We have 40 hours of continuing ed every year.
Well, that's exciting.
It's not exciting.
I know.
Trust me. It's costly and time consuming.
I know. It's like getting beat up with no, yeah, right. Anyway, so I looked and started putting this together, and the first two members of the team were Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. This is a big word, independent. Why? Well, anybody that's lived in Florida, especially since Hurricane Andrew, 1992, watched insurance companies just absolutely change everything, especially when it came to your homeowners, because many, many different companies at that point came to the conclusion with the help of regulators and other people that they had too much business in any one given area. So what did they do? They just canceled them all, or non-renewed them, or doubled their premiums. Well, if you worked for one insurance company, and that one insurance company says, we're getting rid of half of your business, half of those people in that book of business are mad at you because it's guilt by association. And you, who have worked all those years with that one particular company, are a little bit sick to your stomach too, because here they just took away half your income. So Dan, many, many years ago, realized that in order to be a credible professional, he had to become an independent insurance agent. So now he's 35 years in business. Been in Port St. Lucie, Martin and St. Lucie County primarily, has got clients all over the state. And in my opinion, if there's 100 best agents in the state, Dan's definitely in the top 10. This is my opinion. And a lot of years have gone into this conclusion, watching what he has done for people and how his operation works to do the right thing for clients. And after all is said and done, Dan is a flat good person.
Yes, he is.
So that makes my heart feel really good. And then we had Greg Fasula, attorney. Now, you know, the word attorney is usually synonymous with dentists. I mean, who do you want to see not today? Oh, boy, he's right up there rinking. Because, you know, normally when I think of the word attorney, I don't get a smile on my face. I guess, oh, lordy, lordy, here we go.
Well, it's usually because you have a problem. Either somebody's suing you or you're suing somebody else.
Yep.
Normally.
Normally.
You've got,
whatever it is, I look and I'm looking in my wallet to find out how much is in there.
And that's, well, whatever it is,
it may not be enough. Yeah, the odds are good. So the key thing was, when I first meet a brand new client, prospect, suspect, one of the first things I ask him is, are you ready to die? Now, if you were an attorney, you would say, have you done your estate planning?
That's right.
Now, you know,
estate planning.
Estate, right. Everybody says, I don't have an estate. I got a house and a car. That is your estate.
Most people, they do all have estates, but most of them don't qualify. They fall below the exemption amount, so they don't even pay attention to
Well, see, he's talking taxes now.
Yeah.
I'm just talking when you die.
Oh, just generally.
Forget this part.
Okay.
So the key thing is this, and if they say, no, I haven't done a will or a trust, I say, well, I'm a pot stirrer, and I'm going to try to suggest strongly that you do that, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Because it's in my opinion, it's the right thing to do, and I kind of get, see, poor Vinny is, you know, he's picking up your disease there, Pastor Tom, you know, called lack of sleep.
Is that it?
Well, it's true. I was up at midnight last night, and I was working on a return, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just, this is your time of year.
And so I didn't get to sleep until probably around 12:30, 1 o'clock. I am a little bit tired now.
Yeah, this is your time of year. Hey, you know, come on here, kid. What do you think you are? You're just a youngster still.
And I just got back from an out-of-town trip, so that was a little taxing.
Pun intended.
Pun intended.
So Greg Fasula happens to be the only attorney I know personally that I'd like to have as a next door neighbor, because he is not arrogant. He's not pretentious. He's a good listener. He's a gentle person. He's not expensive. He's just a flat good guy. And the nice thing about Greg, because I've known Greg for over 20 years now, is that a lot of attorneys, you call them up and you say, hey, I've got a thing. Can you do this for me? And they'll say, sure. And they may not have a clue. And then you're going to pay them to go learn what it is that you need to have done. You call Greg, he'll say, I don't do that, but I know somebody else that does. And I trust this other person, so I'll give you their name and number. And that counts big points with me. So that's Greg. So Greg Fasula, Dan Warren, Joe Martek started doing these shows 10 or 11 or 12 years ago. Then, Pastor Tom, you fallen asleep already?
No.
You don't.
No, I'm sitting here just listening.
I noticed he's got his head in his arm, you know, and he's not, and it just fell off of his arm. So
he must be doing a lot of burning the candle at both ends too.
Are you burning the candle?
He stays. No, I'm recovering from jet lag.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, hey, it's been 2 weeks.
When did you get home?
Last Saturday.
Oh, 1 week.
A week.
So it's less
no,
than a
you
week.
Were you were here last Wednesday.
Was I here last Wednesday?
Yeah, that was
well,
you.
Well, if you were, then
I told you I was recovering. 10 days,
like,
was a good facsimile anyway.
We could go Saturday.
Yeah.
There you go. So you should be recovered by now. It's only 6 hours.
Almost.
Yeah. Anyway, then over a period of time, we added Mr. Vincenzo. No, that's not. If his grandfather really had won, that's what he would have been called. But
that's right. My
Vincent,
grandfather didn't win. They named me Vincent, and that's what it says on my birth certificate.
Vincent Rosino, CPA. Forensic CPA, which means he's qualified to be an expert witness in the court system. And it's a critical part of the word to me, a CPA. Why? This is a fellow that's earned his stripes, put all that time in to earn it, and they have more personal liability than anybody else when it comes to messing with your taxes, because they put their name on that dotted line. They're saying, hey, this, to the best of my knowledge, is the truth of what I'm submitting to the government. So you're on the line.
We have obligations.
Yeah, Ab, you do. And, you know, the word fiduciary, all these good words that are used constantly, everybody that's, quote, a professional, as far as I know, has that responsibility. Even though other people really, the ones that wear it on their shoulder worry me the most, you know, but they preach it a little too much in that, you know, what is the old...
In your opinion.
In my opinion. They protest us too much, you know, or whatever, confess it too much, whatever it is. And you know, there's probably on a weekly basis I call Vince because a client has a question, and honestly, after all these years, you think I'd know most of these answers, but invariably something new comes along.
It changes all the time, though, Joe. Even the CPAs don't keep up with it sometimes. Yep. They change, and they, you know, there's just so much change. I mean, it's amazing, the body of knowledge, how it grows every
only
year.
10 or 12,000 pages, right?
Yeah, well, it's only 78,000 pages.
78,000. No minor thing, you know.
To the code.
But we'll pass it before we find out what's in it.
Of course, you don't want to know what's in it till you pass it.
When did you become a liberal?
He didn't.
I'm going back to sleep.
1-888-221-8990. And then we added Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. I've only known this lady since 1980. She's been in real estate that entire time. She's, in my personal opinion, and I mean this, I don't know of another person alive that works harder than this woman. I think she's only got two speeds. She's either sleeping or working. But if people want to buy a house, sell a house, and they want to know the truth, she's going to show you and prove to you, here's exactly what goes on with that, and you're not going to get her to do anything except the truth.
She's very good at what she does.
That's the way she is. And then Mike Paulus works hand in glove. He's a mortgage broker. And boy, I got to tell you, today, this is probably more important than ever, because if you want to buy a house, to find out ahead of time what you can qualify for sure eliminates a lot of problems. If you find out ahead of time how much money you have to put down, what your credit score has to be, and how big a house, how expensive a house you can get, and you get all of that done within probably 10 minutes of talking to Mike. And he'll do that over the phone and doesn't charge you a nickel for it. In fact, nobody in our group will charge you to talk to us on the phone. If you come and see us and you decide to hire us, then compensation becomes. So literally everyone in our group is here to help people, to answer questions, to do the best we can to answer your questions on anything you want to know about. You give us a call, and you got Vince Rosino, CPA, sitting here, and Joe Martek, financial advisor. A number is 1-888. I was waiting. Pastor Tom, I almost got him waking up. 1-888. 1-888-221-8990.
He's still on Middle East time.
I think so. 1-888-221.
What is it, about 10 o'clock there now?
Well, I think 7 hours difference.
It's 11:20.
It's my sparkling personality putting him to sleep.
I'm not asleep, Joe.
Yeah, I know. One eye is, though. 1-888-221-8990.
I'm just in a fog.
Well, you know, yeah, Pastor Tom and I were really, I wish you'd have been here earlier because we got pretty deep into it today.
Into what?
Oh, boy.
Bible?
Oh, well, Bible.
Bible and doctrines and theology.
Yeah, I think I would have liked that.
You would have liked to have been here because, you know, there's a whole, it isn't that simple.
The book isn't that
so,
simple.
So, you know, sometimes
but
when
it
you,
is precise.
Well, see, and here's, that's where
I like
he was.
The way he's thinking.
Yeah. See, I'm going to have to leave the room here soon. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on with taxes.
Well, there's a lot going on with taxes, as you know. The biggest change, and I'm confronted with this all the time, is this Obamacare.
Right.
You know, people don't realize, and it's particularly the younger ones, and they don't pay attention to this stuff. But if you don't have coverage for the year, you're subject to this penalty, and everybody thinks, well, it's only $95, and what do I care? $95 is better than spending $400 a month.
Or $600 or $1,000.
Or $600 or $1,000, depending on whether you're going family or whatever. But the bottom line on that is, Joe, is that it's $95 a month or 1% of your adjusted income, whichever is higher. Now, it's not adjusted gross that you see on your tax return, because then you have to take off of that what your standard classification, whether it's filing single.
It's $95 a month?
No, $95 for the year.
$95
per person.
Per person. Or 1%.
Or 1% of your gross income for the year.
Now, let's
adjusted gross.
Yeah, but not the adjusted it is an adjusted gross, but not the adjusted gross.
You're thinking. Let's say you have $150,000. That would be $1,500.
Right.
So it's 1% or $95 or $1,500.
Well, it's $1,500. There is another minor adjustment to that. If your status is married joint, then you're taking another $13,000 off of that number to come to the number that is subject to the 1%. But yes, it's basically 1% of your adjusted.
But if
income.
I get down to 150 as my adjusted number after you adjust it.
Oh, then yeah, after you adjust it, then it's
1,500
bucks. That's $1,500. Jeez. Right. So in fact, I had that case, this very case last 2 weeks ago, a client of mine made $150,000. He had an S corporation. He was a trucker. He made $150,000 and he had no insurance for the whole year. So what happened was he wound up, and he had a daughter to boot, a young girl, about 10 years old. I don't know why she didn't have coverage, but I don't know. I don't know the deal there, but I'm not even talking to his business. Yeah. But anyway, we calculated he owed $1,450.
Wow. That's this next year.
Next year goes higher. Yeah. Next year, the threshold is going to be $325 per person minimum, or or 2% of the income.
Oof.
And then it goes to 2.5%. So
unless you never know, Supreme Court might knock it out now.
I don't know. Everybody talks about that, Joe. But you know, the longer this thing goes on, the more entrenched it is, less likely it's going to be changed. They're going to tinker around the edges of this thing just to try to even it out.
People say that. Personally, I don't think it'll ever get abolished. I think it will be changed over a period of time. And you know my personal belief, and not everybody agrees with me. So this is my Andy Rooney moment. Those of you that remember Andy Rooney from 60 Minutes, he has the end of the show. He would come up with his
analysis.
Mine simply is, I want Medicare for everybody in America. Medicare. Now, us old guys, 65, 66, whatever it is, 65 still, can get Medicare. Okay, if we didn't get Medicare, which they take $110 a month out of my Social Security check, and if I get a supplement, it costs me another $200 a month, let's say, or I can get an HMO or a PPO and I don't have to take any money out of my pocket. They just take $110 a month. But if I had to buy health insurance under the program today at my age, it'd probably be $2,000 a month.
Oh, easy.
You know.
Now, well, see, this is, you know, you're talking about this guy and his $1,500 he owes. You know, for this past year, my wife and I, we did not have health insurance. The deadline to enroll for 2015 was February. I still have no health insurance. And the reason is I simply cannot afford $1,200 a month plus a $12,500 deductible per person.
I know. So for you, you'll just be subjected to a penalty, which will be a lot cheaper than paying the $1,200 a month.
You know, and there's a lot of people like Pastor Tom just can't wait to get old.
Well, I'm getting
it's a serious problem.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
and so, you know, the sad thing is I would like to purchase health insurance.
Right.
But because of all the changes with Obamacare and the structure that has changed across the board for insurance companies, I simply cannot afford to buy what I used to buy.
So, well, I'll give you a real life example. I think I told you this. I had the same situation. My premiums went up. If I didn't do the math, it's about 75% for a comparable plan to what I had.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Monster.
It would cost me 75%. It did cost me 75%. I tweaked it. I went with a little higher deductible to lower the premium.
Well, for $1,200 a month, I don't get anything. I think I get a free medical visit here and there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You get a checkup.
Your checkups and things. But until I pay, I've got to pay $1,200 a month, and then I've got to pay $12,500
That's for the two of you.
That's your deductible.
The deductible before the insurance
picks up.
Right.
So and then when it picks up, it's only like, 70%.
So you could be spending $25,000-$26,000
before
anything kicks in.
Before anything happens. And that's just for me.
Right.
Now, my wife's got to pay
It's a lot
another $12,500.
It's a lot cheaper to die.
Well, not as convenient.
Not as convenient.
I think that you better check that number, Pastor.
I guess 65.
I don't think it's $12,500 per person.
No,
I think that's the family. That's six, the family.
It's 6 grand a piece.
It's just 6 grand a piece usually.
But that's okay. Either way, it's a big number.
It is a big number.
And it's a monster number for most people.
And the website was so confusing, you couldn't figure out anything. And one day we would go in there and it would be one thing. The next day it's something else.
Yeah.
And so it never told us anything.
I just say, and I think it will happen. And I have heard a couple of politicians, meaning two, that actually said the same thing I'm saying, and that is that this thing should morph into Medicare for everybody. You know, it's discrimination. Old guys like me, we can get Medicare. Mm-hmm. But if you're 64, 3, pick any number, you can't have it. You got to pay $1,200 a month or who knows what the figure is and not get as good a coverage as I get for $110 a month.
Right.
You know, that's not right. So what happens is, in my opinion, that they should increase payroll taxes enough to cover this expense, which also means employers won't have to pay for health insurance and people don't have to take the money out of their pocket. Same thing. So I'm not sure it'll be a total wash, but it's a dollar in, dollar out, dollar in, dollar out. You can't just keep going a dollar in and $2 out.
Joe, you're absolutely right, but I got to put this. There's an awful lot of people, 30 million more people that are covered now, supposedly, than were before.
Supposedly.
And somebody, somehow, that's got to be paid for. So how best to do that? Are you going to tax the seniors more?
Well, you know
what? You're not. You're going to tax the young ones?
What is happening is that they say 90% of the people enrolled in Obamacare in the state of Florida, I think as I read this, are getting a subsidy. Now, subsidy means taxpayers are paying.
Right.
So here we go again. You know, dollar in, $2 out, dollar in, $2 out. And, you know, this is a vicious cycle that can't go on forever. And we keep hoping that somebody that gets elected is going to do something to address this problem, but it just seems
as... You know when it ends? When you run out of other people's money to spend.
Yeah, we get to print more. Yeah.
Well, that's that.
But
people
don't
mind spending other people's money. It's when they got to spend their own money.
Exactly.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, and the country as a whole, we issue bonds to people, China in particular, Japan. They buy our bonds. They're basically buying our debt.
They're buying our debt, yeah.
And now, after a while, how much debt do you think they're going to buy? At some point, they're going to say no mas, or they're going to want interest rates that are so high.
Yeah.
And what's interesting to me is that there's a spot program.
Spot rate?
For the insurance for small businesses, and a small business with 3 or 4 employees can buy insurance for 3 or 4 employees for almost the cost that it is for one individual to buy it on their own.
Yeah, it's
weird.
It's a group insurance versus a single. Yeah, the group is less, but you got to have more than one person to have a group in Florida.
Is it 3 or something, you're saying? Whatever
it's 2,
the number.
It's 2. It's more than one.
Yeah. But if you have less than 50 employees, you can get on the Obamacare group plan.
Right.
And it's fairly inexpensive for an employer to provide it for his employees.
Has Mitch got it yet or no?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
We got a buddy of ours that's got a bunch of employees, you know, and he's been fighting this thing now for a couple of years. And
but I think they postponed it again. Last I heard, they postponed the mandate. So, and I think they want to raise, there's movement afoot to raise that 50 employee number to maybe 100. So a lot of people will escape that.
It's going to be an interesting time. And we're just hoping that our politicians, and this is really a hope. I mean, it's a stretch. We'll start doing the right thing for the people. It just seems like we've got to have constant aggravation here for us.
The question is, when they have to pay that penalty, does that come off of their adjusted gross income?
No, you don't get to deduct it. It's a penalty.
It's a penalty.
Well, actually, what it is, it's a tax. But then the Supreme Court said it was a tax, and that was on the basis they said it was constitutional.
So it's a tax whether you buy the insurance, or it's a tax if you don't buy it.
Well, that's right.
Either way, you're attacked. 1-888-221-8990. Hey, you know, this is, I said, this is
so your... That's one of the big things, you know, what's happening today for those people who are middle income and higher. They're also getting shaved in terms of their deductions are shrinking and the rates have gone up.
Right.
You know, at some point your exemptions phase out for your personal exemptions. You know, now it's $3,950 per person you get.
Right.
You know, you get up to certain income levels, you get above $250,000 of income. Then that stuff begins to phase out.
Right,
also, your itemized deductions also begin to phase out. So what they're doing is basically is getting very progressive, where those who are making more are going to be paying more, but even more than they were paying before.
Well, and not that I'm for that or against that. Somebody's got to pay these bills. This is the big problem. So what? And it's always been that the people making the most pay the most. I mean, that's nothing new there. The top 5% pay 80% of the taxes. I mean, that's just been the way the system works. What most of us don't like are the abuses in the system or the people that take advantage of the system.
There are loopholes too, Joe. I'll give you a perfect example. There's something called carried interest in the law. What is that? Well, if you get private equity investors, for example, that form a fund and they provide service and they produce great returns for people, well, the money they take out of these funds are portion of it is not considered compensation or subject to ordinary rates, but it's subject to capital gains rates. Up to 20% of their income could come out of those investments as capital gains as opposed to ordinary. And it's just by tax law, just because they allowed that. It was a loophole that was given. Now, there will be those that will argue, but if those people didn't have those tax breaks, they wouldn't invest and you wouldn't have. You know, and there's all those arguments out there. But that's why Warren Buffett can say, my tax bracket is lower than my secretary. Because most of his income, I guarantee, is coming out of capital gains rates.
Well, you know speaking of investments, you know, here comes again. I have people every once in a while ask me about tax-free municipal bonds. And I'll say, normally when people ask me that, I'll say, why, what do you want to know? Well, how do they work, Joe? And I'll say, well, let's say you are retired and you just inherited $5 million. You say, hey, goody, goody, but now I've got that $5 million. If I earn 5% on that $5 million, that's $250,000 a year. I'm going to end up paying 30% or 35% of that back in the form of taxes, right?
Not necessarily. Depends on how you earn it.
How you earn it.
That's
see?
Right.
Now, if that same $5 million is put into tax-free municipal bonds, and we're talking in the state of Florida now, we're not talking because some states, they will tax you regardless, but Florida doesn't have it, then you might end up getting 2 or 3% with no tax. So let's say it's 3% on that $250,000. We've got, what, $75,000 then?
Yeah.
Right. Am I doing my math right or no? I'm doing $5
million. Give me the numbers again.
$5 million times 3 is $150,000.
Right.
So instead of getting $250,000 and losing 35 or 35% of it, I'm now getting $150,000 and I lose none of it.
That's right.
So,
and you got to do the math. You take your incremental rate divided by your nominal return and see what equates.
See how it all works out.
See how it all works out.
So
it might be better for you to get a lower exempt interest than to get a taxable interest.
Well,
particularly in states like the Northeast who have state income tax.
Exactly.
You know?
So what happens is, too, okay, so now we got that 150. Well, now I've got another 50,000 in income that'll be subject to income tax, but I'm not in a high bracket with that money. So I might be able to put 200 or even 250 in my pocket and end up paying little or no tax. So the tax-free municipals work extremely well for, I'm going to call, high net worth people.
Also another advantage to doing that, Joe, is this this whole Medicare tax.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was an additional tax that was imposed, and there's the Obama tax.
Yeah, yeah.
The Medicare tax has been an additional Medicare charge to people making over 200 if you're single, over 250 if you're married. But then there's also the, quote, the Obamacare tax, which is an additional tax on your investment earnings.
What happened? If you earn too much money, quote, as far as the government's concerned, they're going to hit you a little bit more on that top end for these extra little
3.8% more.
Yeah.
And so that means on a capital gain transaction, you could be really paying 23.8 if you're in the highest brackets.
So what you do very often is, you know, and for the good financial advisors, you know, there's not a lot of people in this position, but bottom line is, okay, fine, here I've got my $5 million, and this I've got my Social Security income, and I've got my other investment income. How do I pay the least amount of taxes possible, you know, and do it legally? And very often the tax-free municipals can work very well.
But yeah, there's something else, Joe. You need to talk about that. There's another pet peeve that I have, and that is on Social Security income. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize it until they're confronted with it, that in retirement, depending on how much income you have, a portion of that Social Security is going to be taxable.
Yeah.
Up to a maximum of 85% of it is taxable, and that surprises a lot of people.
And didn't they change it this year and make it worse, as far as I could see, when I was trying to figure the ratio?
No, I don't think that the formulation has changed. No, but what has changed is the as we said about this Obamacare tax, that 3.8, that's all affected by that because that income is true income for the purpose of that calculation. But here's the pet peeve I have. I mean, all of those Social Security payments that you made in your working years was all coming out of after-tax dollars. You paid taxes on that money to start with.
Yeah.
So you paid it into the government. After having paid taxes on it, you paid it in.
Now you're going to pay it again
on the way out. Does that, there's something wrong with this.
Your Social Security payment that you get is subject to tax.
It could be. That depends on what your other income is.
Subject is the word. It doesn't mean you're going to pay.
But it depends on what your other income is.
People that are on Social Security disability and all of that? Is that taxable?
Same thing.
It enters into the same thing. And yes, the answer is it's subject to the same income tax rules as regular Social Security.
But if you have no other income except Social Security or Social Security disability,
then you probably don't even have to file
a tax return. You don't have a problem. It's all of a sudden, if you're making $50,000 or $100,000 a year besides that, then they're going to say, okay, now we're going to tax your Social Security also. Okay?
Now, there's also a penalty if you're making an income and you take it out at a certain time, your Social Security, you can end up paying, you can end up losing.
It's very interesting because I'm getting a lot of calls now, Pastor Tom, from people who are near retirement age or they're in between the early retirement age
CPAs use retirement age. That's called 66.
No. Normal retirement age is
full retirement.
But it all depends, Joe. It depends on your age.
See,
if you're born in 1935 or prior, then your normal retirement is 65, and they've already reached that, so it doesn't matter.
Well, you are there. Yeah, yeah.
But people born after that,
they
could have 66, and then if you go into those that are born in the 60s, and I forget the exact year, but they go into the 67 bracket. So the highest eligibility now is 67 years of age.
But today,
let's assume the boomers who are getting close to retirement, most of them are 66 plus, 2 months, three months, depending on your birthday. But here's the point. So I get these calls now from people who say, well, should I retire and take my benefits?
At 62 or 62.
Well, I know a fella, he's the same age I am. He just turned 62.
Right.
He's a little younger than me, but he just turned 62. And he went ahead and he took his early retirement.
Yeah.
Now, I asked him, so why did you do that? He said, well, I can make as much as I want to make.
No. That's not the way that works.
And I'm thinking that you might
there's a point to you because here's what I told this person. First of all, at 62, if you take early retirement, you're limited to $15,000 a year in earnings, other earnings.
Stop and repeat that.
$15,000.
That means
you can't go out and get a job making $30,000 a year while you're taking that early retirement because IRS says anything in excess of the $15,000, you're going to give back two for one. So say you're at 30. and you're only allowed to make 15, that extra 15, you're giving back 7,500 of your Social Security benefit back.
Give it back. And that might be your whole benefit.
And if they, well, presumably, yeah, it could be.
What I'm trying to say is, yeah.
So be careful with that. And the other thing is this, once you get to be the year, and people don't get this too, is the year that you opt even normal retirement, that 15 goes up to 41 or 42,000. So you could make 42 in the year that you turn 66 or your normal retirement.
Now, what if,
now,
what
then
if you
the
have
year
a company,
after that, though?
And then the year after that, then there's, you can make whatever
there's
you
no,
want.
No
there's
penalty.
No penalty, no right. limit.
Well, when you have a couple, if one of them is receiving Social Security, and should they file their return as a joint return or separately?
I don't think that's it always is depends, but I don't think that the Social Security aspect of it by itself would be relevant.
Doesn't that push them up into a different bracket?
Well, yes and no, because it depends on how much they're getting, because they have the exemptions as a couple that would offset a lot of income.
Well, let's say she makes $100,000 a year and he makes $12,000 a year in Social Security. She has $100,000 worth of taxable income and he makes $12,000 in Social Security. If they filed jointly, wouldn't that affect his Social Security benefit?
Well, sure. But if you file jointly and you have that kind of income, probably 85% of your Social Security is going to be taxed.
That's right.
If you file those separately, I think you wind up in a worse position, honestly. Because the brackets are higher for married separate.
Yeah.
Because you file married separately, it's somewhere between single and married other rates.
Well, the key is, you know, what CPAs do, and I'm speaking for Vince, you walk in a door and he'll say, okay, fine, we've got three or four different ways we can go. You plug them all in and find out which is the best way to go, you know.
Yes, we do. What we do is we have to do, what ifs. What if this, then that. And what if that, then do this. So you have to do the scenarios. That's the only way that you can really properly plan this. You've got to do the work.
You know, I had a...
And if you have a question out there about Social Security, taxes, things like that today, you can call the station here, toll-free, 888-221-8990.
I had a question today from a listener, called me up and said, Joe, you know, I've got these mutual funds, and, you know, they're with XYZ company, good company, and I'm looking at the fees that the mutual funds charge. Now, most people are really, this guy was pretty sharp because most people don't even pay attention, but a mutual fund, just as a quick definition, a company goes out and buys stock in 100 companies, so let's say they buy $100 million worth of all these companies, and you come in with $10,000 and say, hey, I want a piece of that whole pie. They say, fine, we'll cut you off a sliver, and you own now 100 different companies with fractional shares, and then the mutual fund company normally charges a fee. And you never see that fee directly. They take like 1/365th every day out of your fund to pay this fee. Now, that fee might be as low as 0.3%, 0.2%, could be as high as 4% or 5% per year. So his question was, is it better for me to go into index funds? Now, indexes are like the Dow, which is 30 companies. The S&P 500 was 500 companies. You can go into the NASDAQ 100. There's all kinds of different indexes without getting into definition of them. And normally, they copy exactly the way the index is and put you into these stocks according to the index. And the cost is much, much less than traditional mutual funds. So he was saying, is it better for me to do that rather than go into pure mutual funds? And the answer is, I don't know.
Maybe.
Because it's maybe, because each individual fund, some of them may copy very closely, but not exactly. There's all kinds of variables there. But what I did say was, let's do a little bit of education on something that's relatively new, but it is really becoming a big part of people's portfolios, and that's called exchange-traded funds, ETFs. So, Pastor Tom, you've heard of mutual funds?
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of ETFs?
No.
Good. Look at this. I'm going to keep him awake after all. So let's take
back. I don't know. He's holding his head up right now.
So the mutual fund, again, here's a company. They go out and buy stock in 100 different companies, and you get a piece of the pie based on, you know, that whole thing, and you pay them a fee. Got it?
Okay.
Now, but let's say you call up your broker at 10 o'clock in the morning, and you say, hey, broker, I want you to sell that mutual fund and send me a check. Broker says, no problem, Pastor Tom, I'll do that. But it won't sell until 4 o'clock today. You ask why? Because that's the rule. Why? doesn't make any difference. This is the rule. So the way mutual funds work, the share prices are determined at the close of business each day, and when you buy or sell, it's always at the close of business that day. Okay, so at 10 o'clock your fund was worth $100,000, and at 4 o'clock it's worth $90,000. Are you upset? Of course you are. You wanted to sell it at 10, but you can't. Now if it went up $10,000, you'd be happy that it waited. But that is one of the things that happens in a mutual fund. So is that a positive or a negative? Depends. We don't know. There's another one. This is my favorite one. Let's say, Pastor Time, you go into this company and you say, okay, here's $100,000. I want to buy this mutual fund. And it's the 1st of November. And you buy it. And then January rolls around and you get your statement. And your $100,000 is now worth $90,000 because the market went down. And then the end of January or in February, you get a 1099 that says you owe money in taxes. You say, hey, wait a minute. I put $100,000 in. It's now worth $90,000. And now you're telling me I owe taxes? How in the world could that be possible? And the answer is the mutual fund company, see, he's waking up now. The mutual fund company might have bought some of those stocks 10 and 20 years ago. And they might have sold them 2 days after you got in November or December for a profit from what the day they bought them, 10 mm-hmm. years, 20 years ago. And now they're going to share with the whole group of people. Everybody that's in that pie has to pay their proportional share.
So you buy their liability.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
I had that
same case, Joe, that you mentioned on Saturday when I was visiting. A client came in to see me.
Boy, did they get upset about
that. He sold some of his shares, right, for starters, and he had a huge capital gains that was distributed to him,
right,
from his mutual fund.
Right.
And he said, how could this be? He says, I didn't even see the money. I said, no, they didn't give you a distribution.
No.
They allocated the income to you so you could pay the tax, but the money went back into the fund.
You're paying the tax that normally they would have paid.
Well, you're paying your proportional share.
But that's current. In other mm-hmm. words, you get it. When I say get it back, it's part of your cap cost at that point. They pass it
all
through.
It amounts to is this.
It's a cash flow.
It's a case of the ain't fairs. But the bottom line is that's the way the system works.
So you buy into the liability
this is like buying into a condo and they said, okay, your maintenance fee is $100 a month, but all of a sudden there's a special assessment because the roof is 20 years old and you now got to pay $3,000
extra. So what's the option if you don't want to do that?
Very good, Pastor.
Wow, what a softball he's giving you, Joe.
A softball. That was really nice. Did you know that was what you were doing, throwing me the softball to set me up?
I just was interested in knowing what the option is because I don't like paying for somebody else's liability.
Exchange traded funds. What they did, probably 20, 25 years ago, Barclays Bank or one of the biggies overseas started doing this thing. And they said, you know what we want to do? We want to have something that looks just like a mutual fund, smells kind of like it, but it doesn't have the problems of it. So what we want to do is we're going to go out and buy stock in 100 different companies, and we're going to let you get shares on it. But what we're going to do is make yours stand all by itself. You're not going to get mixed in with anybody else. So because it's exchange traded, you can buy it at 10 o'clock this morning and you can sell it at 10:15 if you want, or 10:30 or 3, and it'll sell based on the price that minute when you put the order in, whatever.
You're not waiting until the end of day.
You're not waiting until the end of the day. Okay, that's number one thing that makes exchange traded funds look better. Number two, most of the exchange-traded funds, and I say most, not all, actually have a lesser fee. Now, why, I don't know, but guess what? Everybody likes that, paying less fee.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, you are not sharing with anybody else. So back to that same scenario. I buy it in November. They sell some in December. You're a part of that whole pie, but you didn't make a dime, so you have no tax liability. Yours stands on its own.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like a stock.
It is like a stock. It's almost exactly like a stock, only now instead of having one stock, you may have 100. So it's exchange traded funds rather than mutual funds.
Can you put in an order, like if you want to sell it, but you say sell at this level, don't sell at that level?
Well, you can. Sure.
I mean, just like a stock.
Just like a share of stock. You mm-hmm. can pretty much treat it just like a share of stock. The nice thing that I see a ton of business moving towards that, to people that want to have, quote, the mutual fund protection.
But stand on its own.
But they want to have something that stands on its own. So this fellow that called today, I just said, talk to your broker, because he was talking about index funds, because index funds are even less money in fees because you're copying something that's existing that you don't have to dream up. It's already there.
So all the work is done for you.
I mean, how much, how bright do you have to be to copy something, you know? So the index funds can be 1/10 of 1 point or 2/10, where the mutual fund might be 1% or 2%. So it's usually a much, much less expensive thing.
We have about 10 minutes left in the program today. So if you have a question you'd like to ask, the number here is toll free, 888-221-8990. Get that call in before we run out of time.
And let me give you another one. It's another client. So here's a couple, never been married because he's very ill and he's got cancer for a long, long time. And he figures one of these days he's going to cash in. And before he does, he's going to be in the hospital running up a $1 million bill. So he didn't want to saddle her with his debt. And I say, hey, wait a minute. I'm pretty sure in the state of Florida, if you don't sign for somebody, you're not liable for them. And including spouses, husband and wife. If you don't sign for your wife or your wife doesn't sign for you, they're not responsible for your debt. So he had an IRA, a substantial IRA, a couple hundred thousand dollars, that he wants to leave to his girlfriend, his live-in, in 20 years or so. And I said, well, okay, fine. You die today. She inherits that today. $200,000, she'd probably have to pay $60,000, give or take, in taxes. But if you were married, she could inherit it at her age, and she'd have
it. Yeah, you could divert it, normal retire. It takes a normal distribution.
She'd have no tax until she started taking money out,
right?
So I convinced him to get married.
Good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey.
Yeah, the laws, they penalize you for not being married. That's called social engineering, Joe.
It truly is.
About the marriage penalty that they talk about in the tax?
Well, it's the same. Well, the marriage penalty, I don't know what extent it is anymore, but used to be that if you had two people earning income, the tax was less if you filed separately than it was if you filed jointly because of the thresholds. I don't know how much of a penalty there is these days.
Not much. But it used to be.
It used to be much greater than it is today.
1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. How much time we got left, Pastor
Tom? We've got about 7 minutes.
Okay, good. So we got plenty of time in case you want to call in. 888-221-8990. Any questions you can come up with on IRAs, 401k? Here was another one. In fact, you and I just went through this one. Client comes up and he says, hey, I've got a simple IRA. How much money can I contribute to that each year? And I think it was $15,500 because he was over 50 years
That's
old.
That's right, exactly.
Whereas a regular IRA, traditional, is $6,500 max.
Correct.
Yeah. So that was a...
But the simples are designed for entrepreneurs, sole proprietors.
Sole proprietorships. Basically. Well, and it fit him. Yeah. So he now can contribute more that he doesn't pay tax on now.
Right.
And he'll pay tax on it when he gets old and starts taking it out.
Absolutely.
But in the meantime, he's making it.
It sort of almost mirrors the 401k.
Yeah. Hey, and we do have a caller here. Let's take it. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, I have a question. My mother and father are separated for years now. They never divorced. And I was wondering, she's going to be 65 August. Is this a good time for her to apply for Social Security? Should she wait till, I guess, the full benefit age of
66?
Seven?
Well, yeah. It's 66 now.
The penalty for having taken it early diminishes the closer you get to your normal retirement age. So she's 65. I can't imagine it's going to be significant difference.
Is she working?
No, she's not.
Okay. And
might be 5%, maybe 5 to 10 in that range.
What she should do, honestly, you call Social Security and they're very good on the phone and you don't have to go visit them. And they will look this up for her and tell her, here's your benefit now, but if you wait a year,
here's what
your benefit will be. So she would then have to make that decision. Now, your mom and dad are still married, right?
Yes, still married.
How old's your dad?
He's 71.
Let me just give you another thing she needs to ask. She needs to ask what the spousal benefit would be, because I want you to think about this, and here's the math. Let's say her full retirement benefit at 66 is $1,500 a month. Let me just use that number. But let's say her spousal benefit, because she's married and she's 65, was $1,200 a month. And she takes the spousal benefit now for 4 or 5 years. She might get $1,600 or $1,700 or $1,800 a month when she turns 70 or whatever the number might be. It's just one of the questions that 90% of the people don't ask when they talk to Social Security. But the question should be, one, what's my benefit now? Number two, what's my benefit if I take a spousal benefit? And what will my benefit be if I wait a year or 5 years?
Just to clarify on that income, once if you're getting more than $1,300 a month, you're never going to get more with the spousal benefit because the maximum Social Security now is $2,600. So you're only entitled to half.
Okay, so but it's worth asking the question.
But if the normal benefit is $1,300 or more, probably not going to take that.
Do I understand you? The maximum Social Security benefit is
$2,600
a month. $2,600
a month, I believe. That's
right.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pretty close.
The key. Yeah,
if you're fully paid up every. You're making all the way through.
Did I answer your question enough for you?
Yes. Okay, so those are the questions. Okay.
But you can even call for your mom. Just have her sitting with you to ask the questions because a lot of people, you know, they're sometimes hard for them to ask those questions.
Yeah, I basically handle all the, you know, all her stuff for her, so well, I probably would have to be sitting here.
And that's a good thing, but remember that. Mm-hmm. Spousal benefit now. Benefit at a full retirement age, which would be 66, and then what the benefit would be when she turns 70. And they will be able to get you all of that information.
All right, thank you very much.
Hey, I'm glad you called.
You know who benefits mostly from that?
Thanks, bye. 1-888-221-8990. We got 2 minutes left, so we're going to have a hard time.
2 minutes and 10 seconds.
Oh, boy.
Just one point, Joe. And I know who benefits most from that spousal benefit is the wife. Who hasn't worked a lot in her lifetime.
Of course.
So she might only get maybe a $700 a month benefit.
Right.
Meanwhile, the husband might have been working his entire career entitled to a $2,500 benefit.
Right.
Well, guess what? She was entitled to half of his, which would be $1,250 versus her $7.
Yeah.
And that's where the ones that make the most.
Can the husband, let's say the husband's still working and his wife is taking early retirement, can he get a spousal benefit?
Well, chances are, again, it depends on what his benefit is normally. You got to compare what your normal benefit is.
The answer is yes.
Compared to half of what the
the answer is yes.
No.
You know, that's where it pays to marry an older woman.
Well, if you had to be married a certain number of years. It has to be married at least a year to qualify.
I thought it was 10, no?
No, that's for a different benefit.
That's if they die.
Yeah.
Or divorce.
Or divorce.
Or both. Well, hey, we're here to answer those questions for you. If you got them, if we didn't have time today to do, you can always call the radio station. Pastor Tom or Connie will take your name and number, and we'll call you back and try to help you with whatever questions you might have. 1-888-221-8990. And if you're not earning at least 5% on your investments and you want to get some information on how to do better, this would be a good place to call Pastor Tom and say, hey,
what's that Martex number?
What's that Martex? Give me something.
And we'll be glad to pass that number along to you.
Thank you very much. 888-221-8990.
And you're going to be back on the air here next Wednesday, 4 o'clock, same place, same time.
That's true. With God willing, the creek doesn't rise.
As Uncle Al used to say, be here or be square.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you, folks, very much.
Folks.
Until next week.
God bless you.
Bye.
Okay.
Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-229-0114.
I'm so thankful tonight that the Lord accepts us as we are, that we can come to Him, and that His blood covers us, that He forgives us. This is the new arrangement of Just As I Am, but the message is still the same. I'd love for y'all to sing with us on this one.
just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bids me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open.
This is WCNO, Palm City.